My name is Dan Spencer. I'm one of the summer program coordinators along with Barbara Rossing, who's sitting back there. And the forum tonight is entitled Community, Where Do We Find It? I imagine many of you have had a chance to be at a Holden Forum before. They are oftentimes some of the most lively conversations when we have a chance to really look at one issue and engage in it from a lot of different perspectives. And Barb and I have just talked a little bit about the nature of forums at Holden. So before we get started, let me just mention a couple things. One of the things about forums is that at Holden is we start from the assumption that there are no experts, but rather we want in a forum to come with all of our different perspectives and experiences and understandings of issues and talk to each other about that. So while we oftentimes have a panel up front that will lead us off with a few of their own thoughts, this by no means represents a panel of experts, but rather some diversities of opinion and experience in order to get the conversation going. The goal of forums here at Union, until where my mind has been, I just finished finals at Union Seminary in New York, and so still in the transition of going from the island of Manhattan to Holden Village. But our goal here is not in any sense of trying to come to consensus or agreement or unanimity of opinion on something, but rather to create a lively conversation where everybody feels welcome to share their own particular experience. So obviously there are no right or wrong answers. And in order to get at that, it's real important that we help to create a community of trust and respect where everybody feels like they can be heard and listened to. So that's, if there's any ground rule, that's really the only ground rule of the forum, is that we listen to each other and respect each other's opinions, even though we may not agree with each other. And you will also hear people from Holden, the Holden Village staff, the Holden Village guests expressing opinions. Holden as an institution has no official position on any of the kinds of issues we discuss here. But since we all together make up Holden Village, Holden comes up with many different opinions on these. And so we welcome your contributions and conversation in the forum. We will end promptly at 9:30, even if we're right in the heat of the moment there, and encourage you to take these conversations on to coffee breaks and other times. Please end them by 10:30, which is the quiet hour in the village. But with that, I think we'll get going. I'm going to have each of the panelists introduce themselves and tell you a little bit about them. But just, I'll mention their names as we go. Gertrude Lundholm is on my far left here. Marjorie Zilke. I'm Dan Spencer. This is Selby. And Tom Witt. And I think we will begin with Gertrude and just ask you to take 3 or 4 minutes. I put up some questions on the board which may or may not be helpful as ways to enter into the conversation. But starting with the thing of where do I find community?
I'm from Rock Island, Illinois. Oxfam College is where I went to school and where I live present also. I've been at Holden for many years. I grew up in a very small town in Iowa. And I think when you grow up in a small town, you aren't even aware that, you know, community is right there. And all through high school, I never wondered about, you know, whether it was community or you just had a closeness of friends. You knew everybody in the whole town. They knew you. They knew everything about you and some things they shouldn't maybe know. But anyway, I was never even concerned about community or lack of support because it was there. I came to Holden with my husband, who was a musician here in the early years of Holden. And I was in crafts at the time, and I remember talking with women as we sat around the table about what do you do in your churches back home, how do you feel about, at that time you called them couples groups, two by twos, and all of a sudden we were very aware that there are a lot of singles in there, and what are we doing with them? I went back home after that realizing that we were leaving a lot of people out of discussions and even feeling a part of the church anymore. And I went around and visited many churches and said, what are you doing for your singles? Single adults especially. They said, oh, we have Ladies' Aid, we have Men's Brotherhood and that kind of thing. Thinking that that was enough, the couples club, but still leaving single people left out. And that bothered me quite a bit. And we had used to have the seminary connected with our school. We also had a school of nurses. Moline Lutheran, and so my husband and I decided that we would try to help the young adults at that time get together and feel that they had a community almost by themselves. So we sent letters to them and invited them to come to our church, and we started the discussion. It was not a matchmaking thing at the time, but just to help them get acquainted and say, we have a few in this church, we have a few in that church, can we help you in any way? Get together so that you feel you have somebody to be with and do things with and not feel left out of the church community. It worked out very well, and there were some matches that occurred between nurses and pastors, which I think is quite common. But we suggested that a lot of things that they could do together right in town, like book discussions, go to the theater, have discussions afterwards. They could use our church for all these facilities. We had a good response. And say, now from then on, you're on your own. And we suggested maybe they get tickets and go into Chicago to the Cubs games, and they could go to Iowa University, some of the Big Ten basketball games, and that kind of stuff. That worked very well. But after we quit and let go, I mean, it is no longer in existence as far as I know. And we don't have the seminary there anymore. We do have the nurse facility. But at that point, my husband and I thought, we're back out, we're not. We are married and really weren't with the group, but we did help facilitate it. Coming to Holden, I think, was really what made me aware of community. And of course, I was married when I had been here, and I came back. My husband died 6 years ago, and I came back. He died in spring, and I came to Holden that summer, and then I decided, I don't know where I want to be for Christmas. My children couldn't come home, so I said, I'm going back to Holden. So I came back in the fall, and I spent Christmas here. And I've always felt that you can come to Holden as one person. You don't have to have anybody with you. This is one place where you can come alone and you'll find friends immediately. You have to put yourself out a little bit, you know, sit back and they're not going to run to you. But this is one place, and I keep telling this to people, one of the best things is to come by yourself and you do some of the initiating rather than depending on another person with you. And this happens in groups all the time. They miss half of the importance of Holden is because they come with the group and they stay with the group and they never realize what opportunities are here for a single person. When I came back that fall, I had a hard time because I still thought myself as married. You know, I've been through so long, and all of a sudden here I am living here in Koinonia, and we're singles all around us in the rooms. And so I entertained in my room. I would have hot cider and invite everybody who's living in here to come in with hot cider and sit and talk. It became community for me then. But I still have this problem, even yet, that I was with couples before. Some of the group that are supportive to me now are also widows. But I think it's very important that we have both men and women in relationship and invited in dialogue, and appreciate friends who keep asking me to come and be with them, do things with them. And I think that interchange is healthy. And one of the things that we need to emphasize, just because you're alone now doesn't mean you have to always be with women. You're going to be judged, or if you invite somebody that's alone, that you're making matches. That's not necessarily true. You're just creating dialogue opportunities. To me, that's very important as far as finding community. And Holden is one of the best places. Also, I think when you've been here, you have a whole different set of values when you go home. You have much more to talk about. When you find this in friends at home, that's where you find your support. And you find it with friends like that rather than with even extended family or your relatives. If they haven't been here, they're not on the same level as you are. They're not talking about some of these issues. It's getting better all the time. But Holden's been way ahead on issues that we confront and know are coming into our churches eventually. And you sort of have a head start on it. Not that you feel snobbish or you just feel very privileged to have been here and have your mind stretched. And see, these are things that are fun to talk about, and not just football scores, as you were in the last session, or basketball scores. You know, but you're talking about a lot of the other things that are important in the world and that you're wanting to talk about and discuss. That's important to me as far as relationship with community. And I think especially Holden has done it for me. Okay? Anything more?
That's great.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from when you talk about going from a married world to a single world, because I was married for 27 years, and all of a sudden I found myself in the singles world and felt like half of me no longer existed, and that took some time for me to adjust to that. But I've been single for 11 years now. I feel like a pro. And there's been lots of blessings in that. I have done a lot of things I never would have done before, and found a lot of joys there. I have a very small family, so for me, community has meant to go outside of myself to find that. I have one son and one brother, and my brother lives in Arkansas, and my son is busy running his own life. And I decided to stay in the family home because that was where my neighbors were, and they have continued to be sort of my best friends. And I think that when I think about the community that has been the longest lasting, it's been my neighbors, and so I've elected to stay there. I've taken up square dancing and round dancing and folk dancing, and had more fun than I ever thought imaginable. Sometimes just dating men opened up a whole new world. For a while I dated a fellow who had a boat, and I learned how to run the boat while he water skied, and I learned how to downhill ski when I was 50 years old. And so a sense of community has been to expand myself and what I used to think of myself as this sort of little housewife that lived inside the eggshell. I joined the Mountaineers, and I've been on hikes and other activities with them, and I feel very fortunate to live in a larger city, because in Seattle our opportunities for doing things are just immense. We have all kinds of classes we can take and things we can do, and sometimes I don't like all the hustle and bustle and the traffic, and yet my biggest problem is finding time to do all there is available. I belong to the Northwest Storytellers Guild, and while I'm not into telling stories myself, I hope my goal is when I retire is to learn how to tell stories so I can tell them to children, and possibly work in a Christian vein of being able to tell Christian stories. But I love to listen to them now, and I've taken classes in it, and that's brought me a whole lot of joy. The storytelling. At Christmas, I think at work, I work in a bank. I work as an assistant to the president and CEO of a large bank in Seattle. And sometimes we don't think that corporations have a heart or the people who work there, but you know, that's what I do to make a living. But I still love and care about people, and so I asked everyone if they wanted to adopt a family for Christmas, and the response was so overwhelming. It was just absolutely amazing. We were able to give a whole family the tools the husband needed, lamps for the wife, and clothes, and a bicycle for one of the girls. And we got back this wonderful letter from the social worker that said, you know, that we not only gave them gifts, but we gave them a way to earn their livelihood. And the spirit of community that was created at work was wonderful. And so that was a real special thing, and now has become a tradition. They're already talking about next year. But perhaps for me as a Christian, the greatest sense of community that I have is from the church. I left a small church after I became single because I felt I needed to be with other single people. And University Presbyterian in Seattle really has a wonderful program for singles. We have three singles group. I belong to the over 40, if you can't tell. And there are many, many things available to us. There are social events, sporting events, there's outreach and missions, there's vacation with a purpose, there's teen feed. Jean that came up with me from my church has been involved for over a year in feeding the teens on the streets in the University District for the last year. We work with a social bank, food bank, and we're a really active church. We believe every one of us is a minister, and that it's important for us to fulfill that mission in the way that we see fit as individuals to do. I'm also a Stephen minister in my church, and I don't know how many of you have heard of that program. The Stephen minister is non-denominational, as I understand it. It's in churches throughout the United States, and it's where I have made a commitment to a two-year program that I will help people going through crisis situations. And I had 6 months of training beginning in September, and I now have my first help aid. And I, in the year and a half I have left in this program, I will have three helpies at 6 months each interval.
Pardon? Helpies?
Helpies. We call them helpies. I'm the helper.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the name we use because it's confidential and private. So that's just what we call all of them. We don't use the names in that. And these are people not necessarily within our church that have come to our pastors for help and are going through some kind of a crisis situation. And the lady I'm working with is going through a divorce and just needs somebody to walk alongside her for a while. It's as much a blessing to me, I think, as it is to her. So. And we continue with our classes. We go every other Wednesday and continue with the training to be able to do this. In the singles group, we have, I've worked on the small group committee, and now I'm chairman of the small group committee, where we form small groups throughout our Genesis is the name of our small, or of our singles group. We have about 100 people that come every Sunday and about 300 people on our mailing list. And we sponsor small groups because we believe that people need to be in a community. We need to have people care about us and to report in every week or every 2 weeks and say, this is what's happening with me and I need your prayers. And I need you to be here for me, and I'm going to be here for you. So that's a really important part of what I believe in and work with. Because of that committee, I'm also on the leadership committee for Genesis, and we form sort of a community there. So while I don't have a primary relationship in my life, I have a lot of communities, and I just feel real blessed with my life.
Thanks, Marcia. Selma?
Right now I'm a rookie wilderness ranger, and I was at Holden in the winter community, and both of those have been are interesting experiences in community in themselves. Holden's been a wonderful community of nurturing and renewal for me, and a worship community especially. And our little wilderness ranger group of five people, I can see us starting to gel after 2 days together, mostly through our work and through sharing the outdoors together. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes and develops. So basically, I think community is where you find it. I mean, that may sound like a facile sort of answer, but I think there's lots of different forms that community takes that Gertrude and Marjorie have touched on, whether it's a self-help group or a weekend conference, can be ways that we stretch ourselves and learn new ways of being that we can take back into our daily lives, or whether it's a long-term association of people, you know, either a neighborhood or a town where people get together in ways that are alive and meaningful, or whether it's intentional community. I guess I just wanted to touch briefly on experience I had with the form of intentional community, people coming together to share parts of their lives. I lived in an intentional community called Twin Oaks in Virginia that for about 22 years has been building an alternative community based on people who are trying to express values like living simply and living lightly on the earth and living together, you know, nonviolently, and to promote values like feminism and to overcome sexism and racism. And the way Twin Oaks has done that is to support each other in that effort, and to just be there for each other interpersonally, to love and care for each other. It's taken the form of a community that shares income and labor, and lives on about 400 acres of land in Virginia. And it's most similar to the kibbutzim in Israel, in terms of what it feels like. It's like a little village in the woods, and it has a lot of similarities with the kibbutz in their early days in Israel. I've experienced an incredible amount of joys and frustrations at Twin Oaks. I lived there for 7 years, several years ago. I left there several years ago. And I learned a lot about the patience involved in living cooperatively with people and working out how you care for children and working out sharing, running a business, and sharing a dining and other facilities. I think community in that way, cooperative community, takes a lot of patience, and people who sat through meetings here at Holden know that, our staff meetings in May. But that's to really listen to each other and to build something together takes a lot of being in meetings. We used to have our meetings in the hammock shop. We would reef rope hammocks. So at least when we'd have a long and frustrating meeting, we'd at least feel like we've accomplished something. And we also found out ways to make meetings fun. So a lot of, you know, I don't want to say community is all meetings, but I think that's one of both the joys and the frustrations, is learning how to do that in creative ways for a cooperative community. Frustrations, I think the word fragmented or the transition, I mean, that's, people here at Holden for a long term, this is a transitional community, so people accept that. And yet it's also hard, even just for me, a few months here, and for people longer term, to bond with people and then say goodbye to them. And at Twin Oaks and in other communities I've seen, and even our neighborhoods and towns, more and more, you know, people are picking up and moving. You know, on the average, a quarter of everybody in the United States leaves every 4 or 5 years. And this is true at Twin Oaks, and after sharing an intense experience of community, is hard to see some people leave. And sometimes we develop some scar tissue, you know, and some reduced willingness to get close to people, at least for a while, you know. And I think that's part of a deeper malaise and part of, you know, this incredible freedom that we experience in the United States, the freedom to travel and do all this, that so many options, many of us are changing, and our jobs pull us from one place to another. And I think we've really lost some of the values of rootedness that we used to have in our extended families and our towns. And I think all these efforts of community, both the short-term communities and the occasional communities, and or the long-term and intense cooperative communities like Twin Oaks or like Al and Sarah Pitcher's community in Chicago, are all efforts to kind of recreate that, you know, recreate the extended family and recreate some of the rootedness that we used to feel. And also to share new understandings of who we are as people. It's something that's developing. I mean, we developed a whole language for understanding who we are, you know, psychologically and spiritually. And I think a lot of these are exciting ways of building new forms of community that have never existed before, because they've just become possible. So it's kind of like trying to recreate or reweave a fabric, and also that was torn, that's been torn, and also create a whole new pattern as well. So that's three minutes worth.
Tomas.
I'm very congested. I spent the whole day sneezing and my eyes watering, so I think I may be allergic to this community. But I've had, I think, two different experiences of what I would call meaningful community for me. One is this place, and as Gertrude knows, I came here in 1962 when I was 6 years old, and grew up here during the summers, 11 different summers, and then after college, I spent 3 years here working on long-term staff. The other experience, which is partly an outgrowth of that, is another community that I'm a part of right now, an ecumenical Christian intentional community in an urban setting in Minneapolis called the Community of St. Martin, that has been going for about 6 years now, and I was one of the original people who helped start that, along with several other people in this room who are no longer members of that community. But it's a little intimidating to talk about it in front of them. I guess community for me, or an intentional Christian community, the first thing I would say about it is that it's a gift, and that I'm not sure that we necessarily create it, but that it maybe finds us, or that it's a gift from God. I do think that we can structure our lives in ways so that we can receive that gift. And there's ways that we can structure our lives so that it's quite impossible to receive that gift. I think a couple of different reflections about maybe characteristics of community that have been helpful for me. One, I think any community needs to have a set of common values, and I think we've all sort of talked about that. I also think a community needs some way to ritualize those values and some way to come together to express those values in regular common routine way. And in our community, it's through regular worship. We're a worshiping community. And then thirdly, I think a community really needs to have a focus outside of itself, or else it will die. At least that's been my experience. And so our community from the beginning has been focused on doing outward ministry. And our focus has primarily been peace and justice work, nonviolence, and trying to be faithful people in this culture, in an urban setting, in a particular neighborhood. My church, I think one of the reasons that maybe this community started is that we were frustrated with our churches, and so I think maybe the church did help in a way by failing to do what it should do, in that I think many of us think that the church doesn't ask too much of us, but asks far too little. So I think the Community of St. Martin tries to ask a little bit more of people in terms of commitments, time-wise, and it's become very obvious to me over the years that being part of a community has meant saying no to many things, many other very worthwhile things. And that's a struggle in an urban setting when there's so many things that can be done, like you were saying. Another question I would have put on here is, what are the barriers that you find to community? For me, I would say it's primarily individualism, consumerism, and materialism that are the primary barriers to community. Television, it's really difficult to get behind that. Joys and frustrations. If I talk about frustrations, I think it would put us over the 9:30 limit. There are many frustrations, so I won't talk about them. It's hard work. I don't think that you necessarily get together with the people. You're not friends with everybody in the community, and that's one of the frustrations, is that some people come into community expecting to be friends with everyone or to fulfill all their intimacy needs. I don't think that's really possible in an intentional community. I think Parker Palmer once said that he has a saying that in any intentional community, there will always be the person there that, how does he word it? The person who bugs you the most will always be in your community. And as soon as that person leaves the community, there'll be another one to replace that person. And I found that to be true. So if you just expect that, things are a lot easier. But one of the main frustrations is different expectations. I think people come into communities with all sorts of different expectations, and to sort those out and to be clear about what the parameters are. The joy, I guess, is that I don't think I can live without community. So I really come to it with a sense of weakness that I think that if you can live without community, you should do that, because it's an awful lot of work and a lot of meetings. but I don't think that we were meant to live the life of faith alone, and I don't think I can do it, and I need other people to help me do that. So that's why I'm in community. And that it's a joy. I mean, it's a joy when I'm away from it, especially. I miss it. When I'm there, I always wish it were better or different. But that's just part of who I am, too. But I guess that's enough for now.
I want to add something about spending a year here at Holden. My husband took a sabbatical, and we were here before they ever had a winter program. We had to make our own. And I remember one couple that was here and said, "We've got to make community." And I said, "We are." And it was a wonderful experience, but it was not without, I mean, well, what's it? It's called A Place Apart. You think everything's going to be just wonderful, and boy, there were petty things that came up and arguments. And I think the thing I learned the most that year was dealing with confrontation. I'm still not good at it. I have a hard time, and I remember it so vividly and for so long, and I don't know why I can't dismiss it when it happens to me. But I had it here that first year, and I found that's one of the greatest blessings I had here, was how do I deal with it and still live with these people here in this? We were like 30 instead of what you are. And you think, well, that's small, but it's just like being in your own family. You're going to have squabbles. And those things happen no matter what ideal sort of situation it is. And it certainly happens in the small groups that I'm in at home, too. I mean, I try to do a lot of what she's doing. And I find I have a group in the college that I'm with, and I have one in the church organization, just and extended beyond that too. But that confrontation is a blessing, like Tom says. It's one of the greatest learning things, and I don't know if you ever get over it. But I couldn't push those things away either. They were here. So while this is an ideal spot, it still has its problems.
Let's open it up to the larger group now. We've heard from four kind of starter conversations here, and we got lots of different experiences in the group here. I'm just going to read through the questions so that everybody some people can't see the board. And these are meant to be helpful if they're helpful, but bring your own if they're not. Where do I find community? What joys or frustrations do I experience in my communities? Do I have a faith dimension in the communities in which I'm involved? And how has my church either helped or hindered or spoken to or not spoken to the need for or the question of community? And Tom added to that, what barriers do I experience in trying to live in community or form community? So please feel to contribute with questions you may have or your own experiences that get at this or other questions you think are need are key questions in this area.
About the Twin Oaks, can I ask why you left, why you decided to leave?
Yeah. Basically because I wanted to live in a broader, I wanted to rub elbows with different kinds of folks. And I wanted to be more involved in social change work in a city. And in West Philly, where I've lived, is a very diverse community. And been able to participate in things relating to Central America and neighborhood development. I just couldn't, there were just some things I wanted to do that I couldn't do at Twin Oaks is what it boiled down to. I still love it and go there pretty regularly.
So what you're in now, intentional community or a different kind of?
Pardon?
Where are you in, what you're living in now is not really intentional community.
Well, I'm kind of in a transition time myself now, but I was living in a cooperative household and my church is a significant part of No, I haven't lived in that form of community, or that intensive form of community.
It must be very difficult after leaving something that comes that close to finding.
In some ways, yeah. And sometimes I miss it.
In these groups, Twin Oaks and St. Martin's, St. Mark's, are there both singles and married couples?
Community St. Martin, I would say, is primarily single people with a growing number of families joining, and primarily younger people in their 30s and 40s. And
married couples 50s. With small children.
Yeah, so we're having to deal with that. It's an issue of how the community serves families and kids.
How about Twin Oaks?
It's pretty much the same, mostly singles, some people in marriages or long-term committed relationships. About 15 kids live there all together.
That may be one of the problems, of course. I don't think God meant us to live all as singles or all as married couples with children. We have to have a diversified community. That's why the church is such a wonderful thing, I think. My whole life's been in the church. And it's been community for us. Before I was married, and after I was married, we had children. So
that was one of the intentions of Holden when it began, was to put family back together to include all people, and that's why we have the elderly. It was originally youth camp first 3 years, and then the next director decided we're going to put them all back. We're going to have all ages here. And all be a part of what that's all about, and to share our lives with one another. So it's an enrichment for singles, couples, you know, children, and it's one of the great blessings of Holden, I think. Total family oriented,
right.
But still have, you know, can deal with all these other issues as well.
I'd like to ask a question about these communities. I assume you all live together under common roof. You two gentlemen spoke last. Do you earn your living outside of the community?
Well, I'm sure they're quite different. Our community does not live together, but we live in a proximity to one another, and most people live in the same neighborhood. And most of us, our community is quite different from many other intentional communities like Sojourners and Church of the Savior and Reba Place, some of those others that about half of our community, I would say, are still members of a parish, so that we're not a congregation.
So if you don't live together, where do you find that community?
Through outward ministry, through ministry groups, so we break down into smaller groups, do ministry together, and also through corporate worship.
Mm-hmm. I know the Church of the Savior has some of these satellite parishes out there.
Right. Yeah, we were Twin Oaks people live together.
Sort of like a campus.
Well, no, it's more like a little village, I guess. Would there be spaces that hold anywhere from 5 to 15 people, small living groups, and kind of mixed together with that are work areas, and building, you know, shop buildings and so forth.
How many people live at Twin Oaks, live there when you were there?
There's about the same as now. There's about 70 adults and 15 kids.
And what's the income? You know, how do you survive there?
Through rope and wood industries, rope hammocks and oak chairs.
How was the land bought in the first place? Was it all bought communally?
Started from scratch. Somebody had a little money and bought it and just kind of built from there.
So you said something about at Twin Oaks, people share everything. So when you go there, is all the income that people come there with pooled?
Yeah, people aren't required to turn over all their savings at Twin Oaks, at least not for a long time. I don't think it's happened much at all. But all the income that's generated at Twin Oaks is shared cooperatively. There's personal spending money, you know, some personal spending money, but basically the community takes care of everybody's, you know, needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But people come up with their personal spending money.
People can earn a small amount of personal spending money outside the community if they want for vacationing or something like that. And the community also provides, you know, some personal money for things like that.
I'm interested in the contrast between sort of the two. You guys have both talked about specific communities and you about other kinds of groups, and I'm sort of in the middle for myself right now. I don't know where I find a sense of community right now. But I'm wondering if other people find it in your congregation, if that, or how that works for some of the rest of you. I like the vision of what you guys were talking about, and I'm trying to figure out how I can build more of that in my in what I have without starting a community where I am imposter or whatever. I guess I'm just kind of curious about others of you.
Yes.
I'm going to get a little bit more negative than you have, Barbara. I think you've missed the target completely. The questions that are up there, I thought you were going to talk about real life. I mean, most of us here are out in the real world, not in intentional communities, and I'm really disappointed. She's made a success. I'd like to hear from some people. I think you should have had somebody up there who's having a hard time. I want to hear about some struggles.
Well, I would be delighted to hear it. I don't think we tried to stack the panel any means, but I wasn't quite sure. I wasn't sure. We tried to get a diversity of different perspectives.
Well, most of them aren't going to go live there, so that isn't, like Barbara, what's the relationship?
What should you expect from a community?
Well, of course, I'm not telling you it's hard to be on a panel and tell the downside. Do you want to start? none of us is going to risk any more than we feel comfortable doing, and it's easier to talk about the joys and the upside than it is the downside. I agree with you. It's harder to talk about.
You might want to ask yourself, too, why you wouldn't consider one of these firms a community, or if there's some aspect of the or facet of community that you want to include in your life. That would be the value that I hope you could get from this.
No, you misinterpreted what I said. I have nothing against that. I'm just saying that the majority of us are not there.
I'm just saying you might consider that there might be some facet of this that would be relevant.
I think the reason I started listening to that group when I had early years here, and that craft group, so many of them were divorced. And they were really struggling with, they were left with children and not having income and felt church wasn't doing anything. That's why I went home and said, what are you doing for these people in your churches, you know? I don't know what we expect the church to do. I don't know what they call a church at that point. I couldn't quite figure out, sometimes they don't want you to get involved. And I'm not going to go seek anybody out in our parish who's had this. If they want to open up, I'm real glad. But I don't feel it's my business to go pry. And I think one of the joys here, at least for me, is I walk with lots of people who are having problems here, who've come here through the years. And I think 2 years ago, I went with so many walks with divorced people, listening to their story. I wasn't divorced. I was never unhappy. You know, I felt, you know, I'm very lucky. But what good was it to walk, except that I was a listener, and I knew it was necessary for them to tell their story over and over and over again. And I think that's part of where church people are involved, that just being able to do that, to be a listener for those people who are really having a tough time. And that's when I went home and said, what are you doing with your singles here who have to work and make a living and keep your family together? And I don't know if I helped in that, but I felt just being a listener to these people who were struggling was one of my reasons for being here.
I really appreciate you.
I'd like to go back to what your question was. I mean, the answer to this question is I'm not finding it. I mean, and that's where most people are. I think that's where our conversation should be. And maybe, you know, what are the barriers? Why not?
Well, what do we even mean by community? Because I think there's several different people who are coming from different places here, and obviously in the group too. We shouldn't have any assumed places.
Barriers. I think it was you, Tom, said barriers are individuality, materialism, and consumerism. And
I couldn't hear that.
Sorry, I was just repeating what he was saying, the barriers he perceived to community. And for me, that really rang a bell, because I have long been fascinated with the idea of intentional communities. About it, and I have really become convinced that as a Christian, I need to be in a supportive and accountability kind of situation to help counteract the very strong tendencies I find in myself towards individualism. At consumerism and materialism. The situation I'm in right now is really one of withdrawal. And I find that one of the biggest barriers for me is fear of what I'm going to give up, of autonomy, of control. And yet I also am attracted. It's a real push-pull kind of situation. But I think that accountability is one of the issues, and I don't know that it's been really addressed. And it's one of the biggest, it seems, that's running through our talks this week, is how are we to accomplish the work of God in the world, and can we do that if each of us allows ourselves to live really separated and isolated lives? Then nobody calls us to account, nobody sees us, and we can pretty much order our lives as we see fit. And for me, this is confession, okay, I order my life to please myself for the most part. And so I feel like the call to community, or the question of being in community, is an important one, but not one that I can answer for myself simply. I have to work towards it. And right now I'm in a kind of questioning, withdrawal, and transitional phase.
When I first came to Washington, I did campus ministry, and I was set up with a widow, and I lived with her for 5 years, so I had like a built-in community between her friends, the connections I made through the church, and the neighborhood. I moved to an apartment complex. I lived there for about 2 or 3 years, And it wasn't until the last month or two that somebody invited me to their apartment. I never got to know anybody there. I didn't really hang out at the swimming pool. And also I was scared because I'd sometimes come home 1 or 2 in the morning and there'd be people in the parking lot I didn't know. I moved to a home, my own home, last summer on a dead end street, and suddenly I knew all sorts of people. There are 16 houses on that street, and I've been in at least 10 of them, invited in at one time or another. And I think one thing that helps make this particular community is that there are at least 4 or 5 of the houses there are retired people. And they're very friendly, and they keep a watch out on your house. So we don't have an official neighborhood watch, but it's kind of built in. I had some trouble switching churches. There was one church I was interested in. It was a Methodist church, and they had a singles program, and I thought that was nice. So I went up to the pastor's wife, and I said, "Hi, I'm interested in your group." I forget what it's called. It was something solo or something like this, some clever name. And she said, "Oh, are you widowed? Are you divorced?" And I said, "No." She says, "Well, our singles group is for widowed and divorced people." And leaving to be said that I ended up joining a Lutheran church that didn't particularly have a singles group, but was very open. I mean, the first time I was there, some people I knew marginally saw me and took me out to lunch, and so that's been a nice thing. One thing that I'm kind of working on now is I've been involved in a 12-step program for about the last 4 months. And in this 12-step program, I go to at least 3 or 4 meetings a week. I call somebody 4 times a day, 4 different people. People are calling me, and I'm wondering between, you know, how at what point my recovery is becoming a compulsion. And especially, I think, after hearing the people speak yesterday, I was wondering how much am I, you know, how much do I need to get back in the church and contributing that way, and how much is this program really helping me? And it's, you know, it's a spiritual program based on God, but there's still some difficulties. So again, there's not a perfect answer, but I'm feeling that I'm coming here with more of a sense of community than I've had in recent years.
I guess community to me has been diversification and variety in my life. I've been single about 3.5 years, and at first I had children still at home, but when they left, it was, there really is an emptiness syndrome that a woman goes through. I don't know if men do or not. I read a book called Feel. I've read many books. Mm-hmm. That was part of my diversification. But I have recently read a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And one of the neatest things that I learned from that book is that she describes a grid. And for me, I put myself in the center with Karen/God. And then I start filling in my grid. And some of my grid are things that I'm actually doing, and some of it is things that I've always wanted to do but I've never taken the time, and how am I going to work that out into my life, and where, and so my job is part of my community, my home I'm decorating is part of my community, my neighborhood is, and the children just come when you go out and work in the yard. The children are great, but there's some retirees in the neighborhood. My church is very much a part of my community. I don't know. I don't think I'm doing it a whole lot differently, except I'm not totally tuned in like a planned neighborhood is. But there are a mixture of Christians and non-Christians on my street. We all visit. I don't know. It just seems like you go through a depressing kind of time, but that's kind of what Feel the Fear is, realizing that you're on the negative side of life, and pull yourself out and get back over here to the positive. And you can only do that in Christianity, to my way of thinking.
Oh. One of the things that you have going for you in the intentional communities that most of us will never participate in is that you have the kind of coming together like you do in Holden of couples and singles and olders and youngers. In most churches, frankly, that I've worked with all over the country, there's very little focusing on people who are not nuclear families. Even step-parent families have trouble. And churches do not embrace and do not include single people in the same way. Being belatedly single, it's a tremendous difference between being a couple and being a single. If you haven't been on both sides, you don't know the difference. And I've only seen one or two churches that have made any successful effort to reach out and include singles with couples. I know about the singles groups, and I don't think generally that's the answer. The church that I remember is West Hills Covenant in Portland that breaks the entire congregation down to small group structures. It includes singles, single-parent families, divorced, widowed, nuclear families, step-parent families, older and younger, and they're really family together. They get together every week, they nurture one another, they equip one another. But most of our churches, nothing like that is present. And I, for one, don't enjoy the singles groups. For some people, that's an answer. But I think we need people of all different backgrounds. So I don't know what can be done, except somehow we've got to get the church to take its responsibility to minister everybody in the congregation, not just the nuclear families. And I don't know how you do that.
My experience has been the same. I've been in the same with Lutheran Royal Temple for years now, and I'm like you. I've been in the same apartment complex. I don't know people who live around me. They're just very different. But also in my church, I can remember going to church so many times and feeling so alone. They address problems and situations. They talk to the family. They talk even about the children. They speak to them even more, and the family and all different groups. But I just remember, I sing with these people, I pray with these people, but yet I feel so alone and sometimes not nurtured. And the church is really good at getting people involved. And a lot of times single people get, I'm always called upon. I don't have a family. I'm always called upon to do things. And I don't mind that, except you need nurturing at the same time. Sometimes I just feel like I'm giving so much and there's a void. There's something that's not filling up at the same time. That's been my frustration with the church.
Jane?
I just want to say that I think it's often hardest when we're all looking for community, and it's often hardest when we're in a place like Holden, which has, people have said wonderful things about it, has meant a lot to a lot of people, but I think it's often easy to feel lonely here, too. I know that I was years being the only American, for example, in a small village in Senegal, and I never felt lonely there. It didn't occur to me because it didn't occur to me that I would be with other people like me. I mean, one didn't expect that. Of course, I was with wonderful Senegalese. But anyway, I often come to Holden and feel lonelier here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because we're not as open as the people that you were with there?
No, I think that we expect a lot of this community, right? We expect to know people. I don't know. What do other people think?
I think there's a biblical thing of self-care versus selfish, and we are responsible for self-care, as well as reaching out, pulling out.
One of the expectations of the community for me is fellowship as well, and I don't think we really talk too much about that either, that just that need, I just put sort of that in, that need to be connected, and to know that I'm connected.
You know, one question I have is, it seems to me that you have to define what church is. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I go to the church and the church doesn't reach out to us. But I think we are the church, and that, I mean, you go to a building, but you're the church, and that it's, you know, if people aren't reaching out to you, seems to me, as a member of the church, you reach out to them. You make the groups. You initiate what isn't there. I don't know, my experience with churches is that if you come to the church and expect to be spoon-fed, you're going to be disappointed. If you come to the church with ideas and enthusiasm and creativity, and you try to generate enthusiasm from like-minded people. You can usually do it if you have a lot of energy. I realize if you're a single parent and have kids, your time is squashed a lot of times. But I just wonder, having worked in churches a lot, you know, how much is the responsibility of the church quote, and how much is the responsibility of the people who run the church? Lay people.
I want to respond to your comment, because in our church, well, there was a group of us talking about it, and we said that same thing. Well, we are the church, so let's not blame, let's do something about it. And we did start a group of women that are meeting as a spirituality group that we decided that was a need that we had and wanted to get together, and they're single and married women as a part of that group. So I think that instead of sitting back and saying, this isn't being provided for us, we were those people that need to make that happen. And there were other people that were feeling that need. And in a small congregation, I think we have about 200 members in our church, there are 6 people that are meeting on a weekly basis to do a study, a book study. And it's been it's been wonderful.
We're at the end of our hour, and but I'm struck by the energy level in the group here, and the kinds of sparks that the conversation has struck. It's clear that this is something that people feel deeply about and have a lot of opinions about. So I encourage people to continue the conversations during the rest of your time here at Holden, and feel free to engage each other in that. So,
will there be any continuity tomorrow night, or do you go to another subject completely?
I just think, Barb, we're moving on.
Guys, I think there will be no continuity. Tomorrow night is, in this slot, is a staff meeting and slides of Middle East, is it? But that's all. We got coffee hour, we got lunch, we got dinner. I mean, there's plenty of chance for continuity.
But if there's a real desire, something could be scheduled.
I would say it like that. We could have part two easily.
Sure.
Yeah, and
I
don't know if it's this question or a different question, but that would be helpful to know if it's the right question.
I think we're hoping to form a small group tomorrow for the singles, just to meet for some informal conversation. And I appreciate those people kind of speaking to me about a topic or an area that we would want to talk about. We can continue this and also talk about just where we find support as a single person. Resource some of our own experiences. That'll be announced tomorrow.
Good. It's been one of the most the fun things and the frustrating things about forums is somebody said you just scratched the surface. You get a lot of things out there, and then the hour's over. But we certainly want to be flexible, and if people want to pursue them more, we'll find a way to do that. So thanks for coming.
Thank you.